All right, Exodus chapter 33. There's no doubt we live in a, I guess you'd call it, challenging times. We live in fearful times, maybe. Some people are fearful, I'm not. A lot of people are, they're afraid. People are locked down. Some good people, real good people, are locked down. And so I would need to remind people, the Lord is with His people.
That's right.
The Lord is with His people.
Amen.
And if you know Him, you have nothing to fear.
That's right.
You have nothing to fear. And I'm going to show you that today. And I've had people on Facebook accost me and stuff because I say stuff like this. And I said, well, you know, what do you fear? What are you afraid of? So let's turn to Exodus chapter 33, a good example. I'm going to read the whole chapter, so this week you can say that you read a chapter out of your Bible this week. Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. He said, I'm going to go up before you. Verse 4, and when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. Now, wait a minute, he just told them they're going to conquer the land. That's not what they're mourning about. They're mourning about that God said, I'm not going to be in the middle of you.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to be in front of you because you're unfaithful. And God's not going to be contaminated by us. Sin's not going to be in His presence. He'll take care of us, but when we're in our sin, He's not joining us in our sin. He'll go before you. He promised that. Let's see what it means. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee before. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the mount Oreb. Now, do you know what those ornaments was? Do you remember when the children of Israel was exiting Egypt? They were leaving Egypt. The Egyptians gave them earrings and gave them nose rings and gave them rings and gave them jewelry and gave them garments, but they were polluted. They were ungodly things. They had been dedicated to ungodly deeds, and God said, get rid of that. Worldliness. Egypt in the Bible represents the world system, the world ways. And God said, I'm not going to go with you if you're worldly.
Wow.
Get rid of that stuff.
Yep.
That's why they were grieved. They got convicted about it. They were leaving Egypt, but they looked a lot like Egypt now. Let's go on. Verse 7, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. Put it up. And all from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp, outside the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses, until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. A big cloud came down and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his own tent, in his tent door, his own door there. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, this is Moses talking to God, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Not about God, he wants to know God. That I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider, this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, God, if you don't go, I don't want to go.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's the way we ought to be about everything.
Yes.
If you can't take God with you, don't go.
That's right.
Amen. Verse 16. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? He said, how are people going to know we found grace in your sight if you don't go with us? This is how people know.
Right.
And then he said, shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. That gives me chills. He knows my name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses said, well, I see the cloud and I see the fire at night, but God, I want to see all your glory. Boy, if people come to church looking for the glory of God, wouldn't that be something? Verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. When people say, I had a vision, I saw God, he's lying. And the Lord said, Behold, there's a place by me, beside me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. He hides us in the cleft of the rock, because if he didn't, if he poured it all on us, we'd die. And he said, I'm not going to let you see my face, you'll die. I'm going to cover you with my hand in the cleft of the rock. We got a song about the cleft of the rock. Got a song about his hand. Now, he said, I'm going to cover you so you can't see me when I first go by, and then I'm going to take it off. You can see me after I pass by. You can see the back. Listen, folks. He's saying, Moses, I'm going to show you I'm with you. Moses said, Lord, I need to see it. I need to see it, Lord. I need to see you, God. He said, you can't see me, you'll die. But I'm going to let you see my glory. And I'm going to let you see some of my presence. But God's so holy, if we saw his face, we'd die.
That's right.
Now one day we'll be changed to be like him. We can. But not now. Not in this body.
That's right.
He said, but I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and we can see him. And let me tell you something. When you get in the cleft of the rock, Jesus is the rock.
Yes.
Peter's not the rock.
Amen.
Jesus is the rock. You get in Jesus, you'll be in the cleft of the rock. And you can see some God.
Yeah. Amen.
But without Jesus Christ, you're not going to see God.
Amen.
You're not going to see his power. You're not going to see his presence. You're not going to see his blessings. You're not going to feel him.
Amen.
until you get in Jesus Christ. And then every once in a while, Brother Holroyd, he'd give us a little glimpse of God. I like that. He said, I'm going to go with you. The Lord's with his people. And he did that to prove to Moses, there's a hard time coming, Moses. You're going into that promised land. And I'm going to drive them out. But these people are stiff-necked. And they're hard-hearted. We'd say hard-headed. And they're going to be a lot of trouble. So I'm going to let you see me so you'll know I'm not just in that cloud. I'm not just in that fire. But I'm right here with you. And today I'd like for y'all to realize these people suffered, but God was with them.
Yes.
Now don't you sit there and say that Christians never suffer and they never go through hard times because common sense, nobody's going to listen to you when you say that. We know, everybody knows better than that. But the difference between us now and then when we were unbelievers is we know God's with us, even in our trials, our tribulation, our suffering. We know. And I tell people, they say, well, doctor told me I'm going to die. I said, well, either way, you're a winner. God's with you. And Paul said, I'd rather be departed. We just don't know what we're missing on this side. We knew we won't want to go. Amen. He said, I can't even talk about what I saw while I was up there, but I did. But God is with us. There's people in our church suffering. I think the worst suffering is fear. Really. Not just COVID, but fear in general. When you live in fear, you're not walking in faith. Faith gives calmness, peace, joy. Fear does just the opposite. It steals calmness, peace, and joy. And it'll steal everything you got. We walk by faith. And now we don't fear. In Christ, we have no fear. And you say, well, what you going to do if they come to your house with a gun and say they're going to shoot you? I will not be the first person that this old world's ever killed for Christ. I'll count it an honor. When they went to crucify Peter, now we got a crowd now say that that would never happen, but if you're a better believer than Peter, raise your hand. And they jailed him and went to crucify him. And he said, don't crucify me like you did the Lord. Hang me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified right side up. Why? Because he knew God was with him. Every one of the apostles, except John the Beloved, was persecuted and killed in terrible, awful, barbaric ways. And the only reason they couldn't kill John is because God wasn't through with him. They tried. But everybody's not a John. Everybody's not a Peter. But we look at them and we say, they didn't suffer. You never read your Bible. For some reason, we think because we're American Christians, we shouldn't have problems. Your faith has been twisted by television, radio, media. You need to get back in the Bible. I'm not preaching gloom and doom. I'm preaching just the opposite. See, it doesn't matter what happens. God is with me. Matthew 28:19, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. He said he'd never leave me. He'll never forsake me. What do I have to fear? This life here is the hardest life we're ever going to have. And he's promised to be with us in that. Brother Allen's been all over the world witnessing, preaching, soul winning. Everybody don't live in a big house, do they, Allen? They live in mud huts, lean-tos, caves. He showed me some pictures the other day when we came back from visitation where he went to Africa and they went to this village in Africa and stayed with those people and showed how those women cook. If you complain about your kitchen, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. These women had a common cooking area. They had a mud hut where they built their fire, and they had a bunch of pans and pots they'd cook on those fires. And Alan said that's about all they got done all day, because they had to hunt the wood, they had to set the fire, they had to cook and boil and all that stuff. All the men did was go kill it or harvest it and bring it in. And those women worked all day. But if they were believers, you know what? I don't think they thought they had that bad of a life. Did you know at that time that the leader of Africa, depends on what part you're in Africa, but several of those nations are barbarian leaders, dictators, cruel, ungodly, wicked men run those places. And those Christians live and ignore every bit of that. Half of them, you'd say, who's your president? They'd say, I don't know. I ain't got time for all that. I got to kill me some deer and get me some corn. My wife's got to cook. And by then, we'll be ready to go to bed. That's right. But God's always with his people. I like what Isaiah 43:2 says. He says, I will be with thee when thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the fire kindle upon thee. It won't even put sparks on you. We all walk through some fire every day. This whole world, this wicked world, wicked plans, people, all this stuff. Our politics is on fire right now. But look, that shouldn't set us on fire. That's not going to kill me. Did you know whoever goes into White House, State House, the House of Representatives, whatever they do, most of it, let's be honest, most of it doesn't affect us. Right. Now, if you run a business and things like this, it's going to affect you big time. But most of us, we're going to go to work every day, we're going to pay our bills, we're going to love our family, we're going to love Jesus, we're going to church. And now, if they ever start shutting down churches, but that takes about two generations to get that far. But however it is, we walk through the fire. It's not going to burn us. We're believers in Christ. Yes, you ought to be wary, but you ought not fear.
Amen.
It's COVID stuff.
Come on,
I tell people, turn off your television, turn off the internet, don't read those papers, they're all owned by communists now.
Yeah.
And tell me what you see where you live. Well, so-and-so got sick. Well, how they doing? They're doing pretty good. Sure, some people have died. But if you watch television, 30% of people in America is dead. I'm saying, we can go through the COVID fire and not be singed and not be burnt. And even if we get sick, God's going to be with us. And even if you die, God will be with you. You don't have to isolate yourself and put bars on the door. Some of y'all going through a fire right now. Chad, that leg, he's going through a fire. And we prayed over him that day, and I felt God, and it ain't blue as it used to be, but he done broke it again, and didn't even know he'd broke it, I don't think, but he done broke it again. That's a fire. Sister Shirley Osborne going up there, she sat there and wept yesterday because she couldn't come to church. Half of these people that don't go to church, one day they're going to be sitting at home, and they're going to wish they'd have went to church when they could have. That includes some of you.
Yes.
I ain't a televangelist. Listen, by the way, I'm not, we don't see those bigger checks coming in from TV anyway. But, but people go through fire. We go through fire. I've been through fire. Personal fire. Family stuff. Wives, husbands, children, grandchildren, sickness, death, despair, bankruptcy. Of course, most of us never had enough money to get bankrupt. But we go through fires. How's it doing right now? How are you? He brought you through. Did you know in Romans 8:38 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He said neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers or gave a whole long list of stuff. And then finally when he ran out of words, he said, or any other creature. Ernest T. Bass. That's the creature. He just wasn't born yet. I get preaching good and I ruin it. Listen. God is with his people when men are against his people. God shows up when they show out. Go back to Egypt, look at it. The most powerful man in the world. Egypt wasn't always a third world country. It ruled the known world at that time. And God said, he ain't nothing. I'll make frogs go in there and let you go. He ain't nothing. I'll send him some head lice, body lice. You ever had body lice? They'll quieten him down. He ain't nothing. I'll turn his water into blood and they won't have nothing to make liquor out of. I'll stop him. Amen. He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? 1 Peter 3:13 says, and who is he that will harm you? Who is he that will harm you? You say, well, people have attacked me. Yeah, and God brought you through it.
Yes.
You say, well, they're going to crucify me. They did him.
Yes.
But he never left them. God's with his son. God's with you, the adopted children.
Thank you, Lord.
You say, preacher, why would he throw me in jail? He's been to jail before. Did you know God's been to jail? Some people just need to read their Bible. Well, preacher, what do you do if they throw you in jail? I'll start a jail ministry. I've done it before. I wasn't in jail, but I went to jail and started a jail ministry. Genesis chapter 39. You know the story. Joseph's master took him, put him into prison and a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And there he was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Genesis 39:23. Where are you going to go? You can't get away from God. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you not only just to the jail, I'll go with you to the end of the world. And you hide at home. And you scared to give out a gospel tract. And you afraid to talk to people about Jesus because you're afraid you get a virus. Or maybe somebody labeled you as a trumper. So you don't want to say nothing. Well, what happened to God?
Yes.
Did he leave you?
No.
Has Jesus changed his mind about you? No, it was a promise. We may end up in prison. But I won't be alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Amen.
Amen.
You said, well, you like that? I don't know. It might give me joy while I'm in there. As long as I obey him, do what he tells me to do. Joseph stayed in there. Hey, listen, everybody forsook him.
Yeah.
Old Huzzy lied on him.
Yeah.
Everybody forsook him. His own family turned against him. God is, now here's a lot of y'all ain't gonna like this. Psalm 41:3. Turn there. I want you to underline this. Psalm 41:3. I hope I wrote it down right after saying all that. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. hard times, struggle. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. He'll be with you when you're sick.
Yeah.
Look at the next verse. I said, the Lord be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against thee. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. And all that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise hurt. An evil disease, they say, cleaveth fast unto him. And now he lieth. He shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, had lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Raise me up that I may requite them. Shut their mouth. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you're a Baptist. So what? Amen. God's with us in our sickness. Hey, look, preacher, what if we get COVID? You'll lay in a bed of languishing and he'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, what if he don't heal me? He's going to heal you one way or the other. He'll either raise you up or take you up.
Yeah.
Ed's getting real spiritual down here. He says the upper taker, not the undertaker. Preacher, you afraid you get sick? No. I don't like being sick. I had the flu once, twice a year for years and years and years before they ever had the vaccine. But since they had it, I took it. I don't get sick anymore. But now I look back on it and I think, well, was that my fault? Was I not being clean enough? Was I not being careful enough? You know, I wasn't really paying attention and I'd be around sick people and I wouldn't wash my hands like I ought to. And y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I got news for you. Even when I'm sick, God's with me.
Amen.
He's going in the bed. He's with me in the bed.
Yes, sir.
The bed of languishing. I can look over and say, Lord, I'm sick, but I'm glad you're here. And then he'll either raise me up or take me up.
Amen.
I'm just saying the Lord's with his people. We need to quit whining and crying and being afraid and being scared of everything. And Christians used to walk in victory. Christians used to stand up for Jesus. Christians used to do what God tells us to do in Jude. They would go to the very gates of hell to snatch people out of hell and dying. Now I can't get you to send a card or make a call. Lord knows, knock on somebody's door and go see them. Christianity's sunk so low in America. It's become selfish and self-centered and worldly, like the Egyptian clothes and ornaments that God told them people to put off. That's what the American church has become like. Therefore, God's still with them. He won't desert them. But he's in front of them. He's not in the midst of them. Churches are closing every day. When I first surrendered to preach, there was young men everywhere wanting to preach. My first couple of churches, I'd have five or six preacher boys in my churches. And they was willing to storm hell with a water pistol. I mean, they were ready to go. I'd say, we're going on visitation Thursday night. I'd have a busload of young people on my bus to go out and not just knock on doors at night. Well, I'm scared I'll get sick. If you do, he'll be with you in your sickness. You still with me?
Yes.
Last but not least, Psalm 91:15. Say amen when you get there. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and he didn't stop there, and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Did you know God's with his people in trouble? When we're in trouble, God's with us. If we honor him, he honors us. Now there's nothing we can give God but glory. That's the way we honor him. We glorify God. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's the way we honor him. And with our life. And our service. But there's nothing that God needs. So there's nothing that we can give God that would honor God any more than he's honored.
Amen.
But he gets glory when we honor him.
Amen.
And then when we do that, God turns around and he honors us.
Amen.
We don't deserve that. But he honors us by long life. You say, well, what's long life? Your mama lived to be 99 and a half, or are we all going to get 99 and a half? Lord, I hope not. I'm teasing. But long life in my life might be one thing. Long life in your life might be another thing. I mean, if except by the grace of God, we'd be dead already. I may have already lived 30 years longer than I should have. By honoring him. I know if I hadn't got saved and I stayed the way I was, where I was, I'd be dead now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I can start naming them all. And I used to say, people say, you know, this person in Lancaster, this person in Lancaster. And I'd say, well, are they good people? They'd say, yes. Are they good church? They'd say, yes. I wouldn't know them. Everybody I grew up with was in jail, out on bail, or already in hell. And I can't even say that anymore because now they're not in jail or out on bail. Most of them's gone. I could probably name two that's not. Why am I not gone? Why are you not gone? You say, but trouble's followed me my whole life. Well, he's been right there with it. And by the way, he gets more honor out of you trusting him in trouble than he does trusting him in easy times. And people look at us and say, I don't know how you Christians do it. Look at all that's going on around here. Look what people do to you and how they talk about you and how they think about you. How do you do this? And I say, well, I've been young, I've been old, and I'm not seen the righteous forsaken. And God's went through with it, went with me through every bit of it. Well, preacher, you just don't know how I feel. Boy, the poverty. Poverty. I'll outpour most of you. You start talking poor, I'll give you some poor. Well, preacher, you just don't know what it is. The family problems and my daddy this and my mama that. Just, don't even go there. People think preachers. I told this one guy one day, he said, you wouldn't know nothing about this. I said, you think I was born in a bubble? You think I ain't never had problems? You think I ain't never been attacked? You think I ain't never been hurt? You think I ain't never been sick? You think I've never been in a bad place, didn't even have money? My wife go to the grocery store when we was young and she'd have to make a decision. We had so little money I wasn't working 2 or 3 days a week at the bleacher, getting laid off and laid off. And she'd go up there and she'd have to make a decision. Do I need toothpaste or toilet paper today? And I'm not saying that to feel sorry for anybody. God's been good to us. Ooh, boy, he's with it. Boy, I can't help it when I talk about it. I can't help it.
Right.
He said, preacher, I've been sick. I've been sick. My doctor told me last time I went to see him, said, Ron, do you tell people what a walking miracle you are? My doctor told me that. He said, you had rheumatoid arthritis, it's gone.
Amen.
Said, you had that broken spine, you were supposed to get surgery, you didn't, and that don't hardly bother you at all, it's gone. You got live hepatitis B floating around in your blood, you don't have the antibodies, and you're not contagious. It don't even work no more.
Glory to God.
He said, do you tell people this? I said, I tell them, nobody believes me. Well, preacher, I'm just having a hard time with this president stuff. That's the least of your worries. You better start worrying about your children and your grandchildren. You better start having more concern about your spiritual life than your physical life.
Amen.
Better worry about all these people that's gotten out of church because they live in fear and they're scared to answer the door because they're afraid everybody comes by. They walk around outside with masks and nobody there. If that ain't fearful, what is? And I don't hate them and I'm not making fun of them. I feel sorry for people that live that way. They won't hardly go to the store. They're scared somebody's going to attack them. And I'm not even talking about all you guys and gals too packing guns everywhere you go. That's fear. And I'm not saying don't do it. That's when you're in war. I'm just saying this. There's a lot of people who live without all that because they didn't fear. Oh man, I felt things cutting off on me right now. If you want a preacher that's trigger happy, I can point you to one. He laid his gun up on the pulpit one day while he preached. I ain't scared. Hey, I knew a famous, world famous Baptist evangelist. I ain't going to call his name because we're on here. And I knew him. And he had two Bibles. He had one he preached out of and he had another one about that thick. Opened it up and you would find a pistol. He had cut the Bible out in a big enough hole that he could lay a pistol in it. That man was scared everywhere he went. He's a big old guy. All I'm saying is this. I'm sorry for people that live in fear. After all, what all God's done for us.
Yes.
After as many times God's brought us through all this stuff. And I feel sorry for people that live in doubt. They say they got enough faith to say they're saved, but they doubt that God can go with them in every situation. Y'all still got quiet over that gun thing. And by the way, if anybody comes in here shooting, I want you to shoot. Because I'm going over this wall. I'll just say this. If you come to our church, the ones that don't have them know to lay down when you start. Because the ones that do have them, they just itching. Ruined my whole sermon. Look, God's going to be with you good times, bad. He's promised it. Titus 1:2, God can't lie. God's made in such a way physically, He can't lie.
That's it.
Like I can't pick up this building. He can't lie. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to be like Job. Though He slay me, I'll trust Him.
Yes.
And I'm going to be like David. They throw me in jail. I'm still going to trust him. By the way, Joseph started a prison ministry. I know. We can go all the way through the Bible. But to be his people, for him to go with you, you must. Be born again. Now, I feel sorry for the Christians that have weak faith and they don't know all this stuff I'm talking about. And I don't blame it on most of them. Now I blame it on the ones that come here and don't come enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's their own fault.
Yes.
But There's a lot of Christians in a lot of churches. They're not being told things like this. And they're scared to death. And it's destroying our churches in America. And I want to be honest with you. Unless you get born again, God ain't with you. Matthew 12:30, Jesus said, "He that is for me." No, I'm sorry. I can't even quote my own scripture. Let me turn there. Matthew 12:30. Turn over there real quick. I don't want to misquote it. I'm bad about misquoting. Matthew 12:30. "He that is not with me is against me." There it is. It came back. "And he that gathereth not for me scattereth abroad." There's only two classes in this world. It's not rich, poor, communist, Republican, Democrat, anything like that. Two classes of people. Saved and lost.
That's it.
And listen, God don't take care of the devil's children. And Jesus looked at him one day and said, "You are of your father, the devil."
Amen.
We don't do that much anymore because most people don't have enough Bible knowledge to do it.
Right.
And when I do it, they say I'm crazy.
Yep.
But you must be born again.
Yes.
Look, I don't go to hospital and quote Romans 8:28 to lost people.
That's right.
I don't do funerals and quote Romans 8:28 to lost people. I'll try to comfort people. But I'm not going to tell you God's with you when you've been against Him all your life and you have enmity between you and God and He's your enemy. If you're in the hospital, you're a believer, I quote you, "All things work together for the good of them that love God." If you're not a Christian, I'm not going to say this. I'll say this is a terrible situation. You need to ask the Lord to get out of here. And you need to ask Him to save you from this and eternal death. A lot of things going on in our country and around the world, by the way. And why, by the way, why are you so afraid of that? Last I checked, it is the last days. Last I checked, it still says the perilous times will come. Heady, high-minded, high-minded, traitors, liars, all this stuff. Let me tell you something. Why don't we just live this week like believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let the world and worldly people worry them and be afraid. Look, I hate what's going on. I hate it. But I remind myself continually, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger and an alien in this world. And they don't like me being here. But no weapon formed against me is going to do anything that God won't let it do first. So you know what we need to do this week? We need to start walking around singing "Victory in Jesus" this week.
Yes, sir.
We need to sing "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day." I know here's Amanda's battling cancer. Sister Shirley battling heart disease. David battling heart disease. Ron Bromson's probably sick. You know, he'd be here if he wasn't. Battling three or four different kinds of things. Surely, several others battling cancer. I know that it's easier to say this up here than it is in your sick bed, but it doesn't make it any less true.
That's right, that's right.
I know there's families being attacked and there's children that ain't even, it's just awful what's going on. But I've got news for you, whether it feels like it or not, He's still there.
Yes, amen.
Whether it looks like it or not, He's still there. If you know Him, if you don't know Him, God have mercy on you. Let's stand.